Hello and welcome to the Reloading Rag Chew. So, second episode back after way too long of a break. I hope you guys had a good holiday. Everything's kind of getting back together. I think tomorrow's I'm recording this on the 5th, so tomorrow's, I think, the first day of school back for a lot of kids, so a lot of parents breathing a sigh of relief as they suddenly will have some quiet time, or at least be able to focus on work again, even if it's not quiet. You know, as every year comes up, everyone's goals come into play and everyone's trying to figure out what they're trying to do. Personally, I think New Year's resolution's a terrible term. It's kind of a, well, I'm going to try and do this, but meh. So I really prefer goals, because goals, typically you have a defined, this is what I'm trying to do, this is how I'm going to measure it, this is my timeline that I'm going to do it on, and it's even better if you say, if I succeed, this will be my reward. So I decided a bunch of random goals. Most of them are not gun-related. A few of them are. One goal, which I think everyone who is in the shooting community should have. It's a really important, it's a sticking point for me. Everybody who is in the shooting community should set it as a goal to shoot at least one competitive match this year. If you're already a competitive shooter, you should make it your goal to drag at least one other non-shooter or non-competitive shooter. It can be someone you shot with your whole life, that shot guns their whole life, along with you to a match. I think this is hugely important, both from a personal development standpoint, but also for the future of our sport. Until we can make owning and shooting guns viewed as a sport like it used to be, we're never going to hear an end to the gun control debate. And like I've said, I don't like to get political on here. I'm not going to go into who's right, who's wrong, groups, all of that kind of stuff. The key issue here is guns used to be viewed as for survival and sport. In the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, if you told someone you had a gun at home, they would assume that you went hunting. I understand not everyone should go hunting. I understand hunting is harder than ever, despite the fact that pretty much every state hunting organization is having a hard time getting people to do what they need them to do. Hunting's not going to be the answer. So the next answer is shooting competitions for sport. And I think the quicker we can get a higher percentage of the shooting population doing these, the quicker we can start turning around. And when people say there's no reason to have a gun, I'd say a million Americans every weekend go out and shoot competitions. It's not the case right now, but there's no reason why it can't be. So everybody, please put that in your goals. Like I said, if you haven't shot, if you haven't shot in a while, if you're not sure, there's a ton of great information on the internet. There's a few that are more friendly than others. I really recommend Steel Challenge to new shooters. There's No Magazine Reloads on the Move. There's a division for almost everything. It's a preset group of targets, and they're very, very friendly towards new shooters. IDPA is also a really good one, because they're, without getting into the details, yes, you can game IPDA, but in the heart of it, IPDA is designed for people to practice in scenarios that might happen or be similar to things when they're carrying. So the requirements are very basic. It's a gun that you would carry, a holster you would carry it down the street with, one or two extra magazines, not, you know, a giant thing, in normal clothes, no gaming gear, no cleated shoes, none of that. You're not going to have to worry about that. So either one of those is very good. There's a lot of other competitions out there. There's nothing wrong with starting with USPSA. There's nothing wrong with starting in any of these other groups. The only thing that I will say is a lot of people can get the analysis, paralysis through analysis. And they look online and they say, oh, well, geez, I need 18 magazines and I need holsters and I need this, and I don't know if my gun, and blah, 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 blah. Pick which gun you want to shoot and find a competition it's legal in. And if you're on that edge, let's say your favorite gun is a Glock with a compensated barrel on it, And that's going to kick you into open in a lot of divisions. You know what? Email the local match director of your match and just say, hey, look, I really want to come out and shoot. I want to try this. It's the only gun I've got, or it's the best gun I've got. Can I shoot this and, you know, not be counted in open? And a lot of them will work with you. And even if they don't, let's be honest, you're not going to go out there and win anyway. It doesn't really matter what your score or your time is on your first match. What matters is whether you had fun or not. And if you didn't have fun, how can the community, what can we do to make it better? So everyone, please set that as a goal. I'm probably going to say that on the next 10 episodes because I really think it's one of the most important things we've got to do as a community. Other goal, I have a personal goal. I want to get a bullet out of a 1911 with a 45 ACP barrel up to 2,000 feet per second by the end of the year. And that is absolutely stupid, and I think it's doable. So, more to come on that. I'll give a hint. If you've ever seen the old accelerator rifle cartridges, similar idea. Another one, follow-up to the last episode about you just got a press for Christmas, and it kind of ties into the competition shooting thing. 9mm major. I want everyone to follow the rule that if you have to ask, you shouldn't do it. This is just like buying a Ferrari. If you got to ask how much, you can't afford it. 9 major, if you got to get on there and ask for load data, or ask how to do it, or ask this or that, you're not ready. Personally, I don't like 9 major. I think it's kind of a hack. I think it's a gamer move. If you can easily shoot 38 super comp and get the same thing. And let's be honest, if you know the rules of the people who are trying to do this, if you manage to hit all alphas, it doesn't matter if you're major or minor. And to me, that's just, I'm seeing a lot of people, and it goes back to that competition gun arms race thing. I'm seeing a lot of guys out there that are novice or don't even reload, but they're seeing people do this and they assume that they need to do it to be competitive. And it's not easy and it's risky. You're basically putting a bomb in your hand every time you pull that trigger. And it's just really, there's not a need. And it's one, yes, there are people who can do it. There are people out there that can have, that are at that level where that may make a difference. And like I said, those guys aren't going on Reddit and aren't going on Facebook asking for 9mm major load data. They figured it out on their own because they're experienced enough to know where to draw the line and how to do it safely. So let's just, guys, you don't need it. If you do need to shoot major, just go with 40, go with 38 super comp, go with any of these other cartridges, or find another, shoot a division that doesn't have a power factor. There's lots of ways. Or, like I said, if you hit all alphas, doesn't matter, your score is the same. So let's get to the meat of this episode. So previously, when I talked to you guys a year ago, I didn't actually own a 223 or 556 rifle. Little oddball, I own like 5 ARs and a bunch of other guns, and none of them were in 223 or 556. I still don't have a 223 or 556 AR. Personally, I think they're incredibly boring, and I've owned 3 of them, and they've all gotten sold within 3 months. But I picked up 2 guns so far, and I've got another one coming. I've got a super lightweight, a CZ-527 carbine. Little lightweight bolt action. The gun weighs like under 6 pounds base. I'm trying to find a really light scope on it, something around 11 to 12 ounces. I wanted a super lightweight, can carry it anywhere, woods, you know, throw it in the back of the truck. Not that I own a truck anymore, but throw it in the back of the car, whatever gun. Didn't weigh anything. I really wanted something like that. It fits the bill. So I've got that. I traded and got an MSAR STG-556, which is basically an AUG clone. Really cool gun. First day I bought it, I shot a match with it. Hadn't even put a round through it before the buzzer went off. And it failed miserably until I fixed the gas setting. And then it failed sort of miserably. But it's absolutely hilarious. I'll probably never sell that gun. I absolutely love it. And I'll probably buy a real AUG too. Then I've also got a SAN 550, the SIG military rifle, coming. It should be here this month. So now I've got three 223s. No reloading dies. I have a few bullets that kind of work for it, but not really. Got a ton of brass, because everyone who reloads has 223 brass. But I started looking at it and going, should I reload this? Does it really make sense? Based on a lot of the vendors out there, we are sitting at the lowest prices for ammo in a decade. And I'm starting to see questions more and more of, should I reload? Or people saying, hey, I'd like to reload to save money. Stop lying to yourself. You ain't going to save money. Look up the definition of saving. You may shoot more for the same money. But I decided to put that to the test. Let's imagine a scenario here. And I've done this all in spreadsheets and everything. Let's say you shot 9mm, 223, 308, and 45. Four very common calibers. And I kind of did a rough distribution here. And let's say that we're going to shoot 6,000 9x19s, or we're going to buy them. It doesn't matter whether we buy them or shoot them. It really, in the end, it doesn't matter. So we're going to have 6,000 rounds of 9x19, so that's 500 rounds a month. You know, that's probably two range sessions for a lot of people. We're going to buy 3,000 rounds of 5.56. We're going to buy about 500 rounds of 308, because most people don't shoot 308 as much as their other rifles. And we're going to have 2,000 rounds of 45. That may be a lot. I think a lot of people that had a 9 and a 45 would probably shoot a lot more 9mm than 45, but, you know, I had to come up with some numbers. Now, for the purposes of this, I'm not assuming that we have any weird calibers, no hunting calibers, and I'm assuming that we're loading plinking bullets. Someone's going to dig into me for this, but to be perfectly honest, most of the people asking the should I reload to save money question are talking about plinking ammo. All of these numbers get thrown out the window if you are loading anything that ends in Weatherby, because immediately when you start talking something that's $3 to $4 a round, your numbers get changed really quickly. So, at current prices, and these are prices that most anyone can get any day of the, you know, with a little bit of notice ordering online, you know, I've kind of factored in a little bit of shipping, a little bit of taxes, because, you know, we can't avoid death taxes and shipping problems. So 18 cents a round on 9x19 at the time of this recording, January of 2020, that's a very reasonable number. 27 cents a round for 223, which will get you brass case 55 or typically 62 grain 5.56, 50 cents around for 308, which is easily possible. You can actually find it down around 40 cents around if you shop hard, and 26 cents around for 45, which is also very findable. And I kind of did this with, let's figure we buy a case of ammo a month. So that's 6 cases of 9mm, 3 cases of 223, a case, which normally 308 cases are smaller, of 500 308s, and 2 cases of 45. If we did that, our cost spread throughout the year would be $2,660, so a little over $200 a month in ammo. And in total, you know, that gets us 1,150 rounds. That's a lot of rounds for most people to shoot in a year. You've got to be a pretty active shooter to run through that. So we've got that. We know that if we go out and just buy ammo, it's $2,600. Now I looked at what the components would cost to load that many rounds. And now there's a couple of things here before anyone says it. One, I went with prices on bullets that are readily available through major retailers. Not super special, not, you know, Black Friday pricing, none of that. These are things that you can get on a fairly regular basis for bullets. I also assumed that we were going to buy half of the cases that we used, and the other half we were going to pick up. Because honestly, when you get into these kind of numbers, when you start talking about 6,000 9mm cases, even if you've got a fairly regular supply of them, most people don't want to pick up 6,000 9mm cases and are going to be perfectly happy buying some. I also did powder. I did all the powders by the pound to get it as close as I can to having as little leftover powder. I did not do fractional pounds of powder because you can't buy it like that. And for primers, I did primers to the individual 1,000. So the only extra primers you're going to have are the large rifle primers. You could buy those as separate ones, but that kind of factors in the fact that in a case of 1,000 primers, you're probably going to drop, lose, misseat something at least a tenth of a percent or something. So you're not going to be able to get the exact number out of a case. So what I looked at was if we buy all of those at fairly regular prices, you know, average prices where, you know, pistol powder is down in the low 20s and rifle powder is in the just below 30 and primers are just under 30 bucks. And I can publish all this data if anyone wants to call me on it. The materials for that, keep in mind, we're buying about half of our cases are $2,228 for the year. So if we do a delta there, we're talking, and I probably should have had this ready. Oh, that's not going to work. Hold on. Excel time. So buying just components versus loaded rounds, we would save $432. Assuming we had all the equipment to do that. That's not a ton of money. You know, we could do the math here, but just looking at the 9mm, if you had a really fast press, like a Dillon 750, 1100, you can crank 300 to 400 rounds an hour, and that's if you've got a really good process for everything else. I know you can pull the handle faster than that, but you got to include brass prep time, setup time, all of that. So 6,000 rounds of 9mm... at 400 an hour works out to 15 hours. That's just for the 9mm, so let's see that. So just for the 9mm, it's just under 30 bucks an hour. Figure that's about half your time. So you're paying yourself about 15 bucks an hour, which is okay. I mean, you can get that at the local McDonald's if you're the manager. So we're already not looking too great on should we reload versus buying. So let's look at if you don't have anything. And this is where the numbers get really interesting. Let's say you don't have anything and you want to go out there and you want to do it right. That's what we're going to call this option, the do it right option. Dillon 550, tool heads, caliber conversions, all the Dillon dies, throw in a wet tumbler, because if you're spending that much money, you better spend some money on a wet tumbler. For the trimmer here, I think I factored in using like a case prep center. You could go with a Dillon RT series, but that's just going to make these numbers even worse. Rough number on that, if you go with the Dillon kit that includes a bunch of the stuff, is about $1,600. So all of a sudden, for that first year, you're at $3,850. So you've spent $1,200 more than you would have buying the ammo alone. Going back to my thing of, you ain't saving money. So I said, okay, well, you know, a Dillon's a pretty expensive piece of kit. A lot of people aren't going to start that way. Let's try a mid-grade option. Let's try a Lee turret press, which quite honestly, I think that's one of the best starter presses that you can get out there. Unless you're doing super precision rifle, it does rifle pretty well. It does pistol great. It's moderately quick. It's not the fastest thing out there, but it's a really good compromise. And the Dillon's kind of just a turret press. It's just a multi-stage turret press. So, a Lee turret, extra turrets, Lee dies, a wet tumbler again. Like I said, this is the mid-grade option, so you could cut a little out of here. Trimmer, same thing. Scale, calipers, you know, basic Frankfurt Arsenal battery-powered scale, some eye-gauging calipers. You're right at $760. So again, we're about $350 over what it would cost just to buy the ammo. Saving money. You're right. Okay, so let's take this a step further. Let's look at the super budget option. This would be a Lee O-frame press because we're reloading 308, so I wouldn't recommend a C-frame. The low-end dies because you don't really need the powder through dies. A dry tumbler because we're the budget option here. A basic trimmer. I went with like the Lee, not the zip trim, but the hand trim, the preset hand trimmer, because it works great and it's a good budget option. Again, a basic electronic scale. Yeah, you could go for the really cheap balance scale, but we're going to have some sanity here. And a set of calipers. And we're at $397. So that one comes in $35 less than if we buy just bullet or just loaded ammo. $35 for an entire year. And let's just say that we're probably, because this is a single stage press, loading 6,000 9mm at like 100 an hour. That's like 60 hours. I'm just going to swag the math here, but you're paying yourself pennies per hour. So that's why I say, you don't save money. Now, someone's going to say, well, I load 10mm. That's where the numbers change. Or I load, even if you get into 243 and 270 and those kind of things, the numbers start changing. So what I'm doing here, and it's not quite ready, but I'm going to release it when it is, I'm converting this spreadsheet into a calculator sheet where you can go in there, put how much you pay per round, how many you shoot, and some basic information, and then it kind of prompts you for what you want. You need a press, go find a price on a press. You're going to need die sets. Go find these. Basically, it walks you through everything that you're going to have to buy, minimum to buy, to get started in this. It gives you some numbers to start with if you're not sure. And it's basically going to tell you what your savings or not is. So I hope to have this out soon. It's just about done. I'm just basically running it through, making sure it works in a whole bunch of different really random scenarios. And then I'm going to pretty it up a little bit, make it real clear where to put it. But I'm going to send this out there for all of you guys who aren't sure if you're ready to reload. Now, there's going to be another whole question here. And that is, well, ammo prices are low right now. But we have an election coming this year. There's been a lot of drum beating for gun control. We could be sitting in front of a panic again, and I'm not going to deny that. There's no way for me to know the future. In fact, I'm probably going to be stocking up on ammo this year, not necessarily to shoot, but just so that I have it in case there is another panic. What should I do if I want to be ready if there's a panic? For one, I would buy loaded ammo. I would buy as much loaded ammo as you can. Reason being is, if down the road you need to get some of that money back, whether it's to buy a gun, whether it's to pay off some bills, whether it's to buy reloading equipment, people generally don't, because it's a bad idea, buy reloaded ammo from some random individual. It's not a good safety. One of the number one rules of reloading safety is don't shoot someone else's reloads. So if you buy preloaded ammo, you're not paying much more for it now. You're paying a very small premium. And you've got something that you can immediately and easily flip after a panic happens. Seems like an obvious one to me. The second thing is, if we look at what happens during the panics, reloading equipment doesn't really disappear. You didn't have people out there going, I just need some 9mm dies and I can't find them anywhere. I did have one person who said that they couldn't find 30 carbine dies, and I sent him 8 links to places that had them in stock. So people who say that, the dies are unregulated machined hard goods. And it's something that there's not that much demand for. A reloader needs one set of each type of dies. They don't need 27 of the same die. You buy once, typically it's a buy once, you may buy twice if you decide you want something fancier, but you don't. So dies, presses, scales, that kind of stuff, tumblers, trimmers, wasn't really a problem to find during any of the panics. The prices on used equipment went up some, but that was more in response to more interest in loading. It wasn't because there was less available. And there were less people reselling used stuff, but on the new market, you could easily find it. What was harder to find was powder, which powder is a very special one because most powders aren't produced in the U.S. A lot of them are produced in Australia, Europe. They're produced all over. And it's a regulated good. It takes special shipping. In those cases, powder did become scarce. Primers are the same way. There's only a few manufacturers of primer. They're a hazmat good. So both of those are things that do become scarce. And then we also saw some scarcity in bullets. And it was interesting because we saw an initial scarcity in bullets, and then home casting kind of sprung up as a cottage industry really quickly. And then there were tons of people out there casting, or even, you know, we had whole plated bullet companies come out of nowhere. So that one's going to be an interesting one if we have another panic. I think that we will see a slight shortage in bullets, but that's one that tends to rebound pretty quickly. So what should I do if I'm worried about a panic? You know, I only shoot normal calibers. You just made it clear that this isn't the right, you know, this isn't the smart money move. I would start buying powder. I would start buying powder and I would start buying primers. Just like you might buy a case or two of ammo a month, I would buy a pound or two of powder a month and I'd buy a brick of primers. Stick with really common stuff. You know, Varget, 4064, Tight Group, Power Pistol, you know, Clays, a lot of these wide variety, BLC2, a lot of these wide variety powders, the ones that you can use on 223 and 308. If you're not sure, it's really quick. Just do some Google searches for, hey, what are some good 223 powders? Look for the cartridges that you frequently load. Know that the weirder the cartridge, and especially on the bigger Magnum stuff, you don't normally see as big of a panic on those powders. Like, I remember during the last panic, you'd go everywhere and you couldn't find a pistol powder available, and you couldn't find anything that you could shove in a 223. You could find all the H50 BMG that you wanted. You could find Rotumbo all you wanted because it's a Magnum case powder. And while you can save a lot of money on those cases and those reloads, not that many guys doing those, so it's just less demand. So that's what I would do, is if you don't reload now, go out, find some good powders for everything that you do reload, pick one or two powders for each, and just start stocking up and run by your local store. You know, you can do a big powder order and pay hazmat, or just run by your local store somewhere that's got powder for under $30 a pound and just start picking up. And pick up a pound here and a pound here and a brick of primers here. And going back to that whole selling thing, While you cannot ship powder and primers, if we do hit another panic and you decide, you know, okay, we're still in a panic, but I still am not sure if I really want to reload. It's a lot of work. You'll be able to sell that powder and primers if it's common stuff really easily. I remember during the last panic, if you had a pound of Varget, you could get $40 or $50 for it that day. So that's my personal opinion here. If you're trying to do this just to save money, you're not going to be able to do it right now. Not and still value your time at something. If you want to do reloading as a hobby and enjoy reloading, which is extremely enjoyable, do not get me wrong there. I love it. In fact, I honestly love reloading more than shooting some days. None of this matters. Absolutely none of the numbers that I just gave you matter. Except for maybe you need to budget how much you've got to hide from your significant other. I'll give you my numbers if you need those. If you are looking at this purely as I want to save money or I want to shoot more, now is not the time to do it. But now is the time to stock up on supplies. Whether you end up using them or not, powder, if it's kept in a cool, dry place, it never goes bad. This isn't stuff that expires. It's just like ammo. If ammo's kept dry and it's kept reasonably well stored, I got plenty of stuff with head stamps that are 4 times older than me that I can load up and I'm never worried about them going boom. So for all you guys who have asked, is it worth it? Should I reload? What should I buy in case there's a panic? Whatever it might be. Powder, primers, and buy the reloading presses and stuff like that down the road. So, if you guys have any questions, let me know. I did get a couple of really good topics that came into my email, stuff like that. I don't know, the ones that I've seen so far, I can't make a whole episode on, so I think the next episode may be a 2 or 3 point kind of split between a couple questions. If you got anything else you want to know about, let me know. If I can help on it, I definitely will talk about it, and I will try and help everyone else. And like I said, the spreadsheet should be out pretty soon. It's pretty close to ready. It's going to be an Excel spreadsheet, so I got to figure out how to distribute it because some things don't like Excel for virus reasons. I'm not sure if I can dump it straight into Google Docs and have it work, but that's part of what I got to figure out. Either way, I'll put it out everywhere that I've got access to, Facebook, all of those kind of places. As soon as I've got it done and it appears to be right. If you are a math whiz and want to check my math on all this once it comes out, I welcome anyone to take a look at it and make sure that I didn't do anything wrong. It's a lot of numbers. It's a lot of potential problems. I've already found a few that didn't really line up. So I hope you guys have a great time. Like I said, shoot a comp this year. Let's just start. Everybody shoot one at least. And most of you guys are going to get hooked and shoot more, but if everybody shot one, it would be amazing. Have a good one, guys.